Translation: I consider the demons who are inimical toward the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in the thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarksya, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. Purport: The Asuras who fought against the Lord face to face got salvation due to their being killed by the Lord. This salvation of the demons is not due to their being devotees of the Lord. It is because of the Lord's causeless mercy. Anyone who is slightly in touch with the Lord, somehow or other, is greatly benefited, even to the point of salvation, due to the excellence of the Lord. He is so kind that he awards salvation even to his enemies because they come into contact with him and are indirectly absorbed in him by their inimical thoughts. Actually, the demons can never be equal to the pure devotees, but Uddhava was thinking in that way because of his feelings of separation. He was thinking that at the last stage of his life, he might not be able to see the Lord face to face as did the demons. The fact is that the devotees who are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord in transcendental love are rewarded many hundreds and thousands of times more than the demons by being elevated to the spiritual planets, where they remain with the Lord in eternal blissful existence. The demons and impersonalists are awarded the facility of merging into the Brahmajyoti effulgence of the Lord, whereas the devotees are admitted into the spiritual planets. For comparison, one can just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. The pleasure of the living entities on the planet is greater than that of those who have no body and who merge with the molecules of the sun's rays. The impersonalists, therefore, are no more favored than the enemies of the Lord. Rather, they are both on the same level of spiritual salvation. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I kind of think that actually I got given different verse than this one, but it's okay. I think I read verse number 22 instead of this one, but hey, let's see what we can do. It's actually a very interesting verse, this one. I mean, obviously, you know that we are in kind of in the middle of the winter marathon at the moment, when we try to sort of present and distribute spiritual literatures to people on the streets. And I found it very interesting that this verse kind of comes out. It's a meditation of Vidura on the closeness and proximity of individuals towards the Supreme Lord. Vidura, out of his humility as a pure devotee, as very elevated and very close, affectionate devotee of the Lord, is actually presenting a very auspicious position of those which are almost considered to be enemies of the Lord. So one thing which I found relevant in my current situation is that we can see that everything is almost like a stage drama for the Lord. The Lord appears when a certain situation arises, and Lord creates a solution. The Lord comes and creates something of spiritual nature, something of spiritual quality. So here we can see that it's nicely stated and mentioned by Srila Prabhupada that the demons are demons. They're receiving the salvation not to them being devotees or exalted personalities, but due to the mercy of the Lord. So similarly, we can see the backdrop of the age of Kali at this present day and age is that there's a lot of tremendous amount of hypocrisy. There's tremendous amount of intolerance, hatred, injustice, rudeness, falsity, and the list goes on. We can see the tremendous amount of negativity that people are not only bearing on their shoulders, but on their faces. Like when I come here to the temple and I look at the faces of Vaishnavas, I see, you know, some softness, some kind of a exalted position, some smooth and hopefully happy features. But when you go outside, you just see people being constantly just like unhappy, just crying, and the way they look, the way they deal with others is just survival mode. People outside, they just want to survive. And what happens when you push an animal or a creature to a corner and survival is the only option, they become really, really rude. They become really aggressive. They become like either me or you type of consciousness. So, but what it means in a connection with this verse is that there needs to be a backdrop for purity to stand more. To diamond to shine more, the backdrop is black. If you put behind the backdrop of diamond something shiny, goldy, gold-like or white, the diamond will not shine so much as if the backdrop is dark and black. So similarly, we can see that the mission of Lord Chaitanya is shining even brighter and even more in the backdrop of the age of Kali. And then when you're standing there on the streets and you speak to people, and you somehow or another connected to this devotional path, people can actually, to a certain degree, resonate with that. In my experience, sometimes people even come to you and said, "Are you okay? Like, what's happening to you? Why are you smiling?" Right? I was like, "Why are you looking so content?" Well, why are you not looking so content? That's the real question. So it just shows that the attributes of Vaishnavism, the lakshanas of Vaishnavism, they become something of positive nature. And ultimately, that's the aspect which attracts people. It's not on many occasions eloquent words and profound presentations and laser show and, you know, sparks and I don't know what. Actually, Vaishnavism is simplicity. Vaishnavism means happiness. Vaishnavism means you're content, you're satisfied, you're happy. And naturally, as a side effect of your happiness is that you naturally want to share it with others. So Prabhupada writes, his enemies, right, he writes, he is so kind that he rewards salvation even to his enemies because they come into contact with him and are indirectly absorbed in him by their inimical thoughts. Actually, the demons can never be equal to the pure devotees. So it shows that even the Lord himself actually is truly merciful even to the enemies. An interesting concept is that because we are Rupanugas, and one way or another we are Prabhupadanugas as well, we're carrying that quote-unquote burden of rather seeing good and bad, burden of compassion, burden of desiring better situation for others. Here in the mood of Vidura is actually glorifying the demons and glorifying the enemies of the Lord in fear of him losing the position of devotion, he's saying that these demons, they see the Lord in the last moments of their lives. But for us as practicing devotees, we should actually learn this art of compassion. This art of not seeing inimical position of others, but rather just seeing cries of help. Yesterday, this one gentleman, we went to this place called Wood Green. It was very bad, actually. It was raining like anything and barely anyone could speak English there. So it was a bit challenging. But this gentleman came to me in the end and he started saying that, he said, people are just so rude for no reason. And he just narrated his sort of a story of how he got offended by one lady just by standing in a shopping mall. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And the point I made to him was that, first of all, I spoke on two points to him. So first of all, you need to understand your qualities to be offended, right? For instance, if I say to you, Sam, your long blue hair is absolutely disgusting. I really, really dislike your long blue hair. It's inappropriate. What would you say? Exactly. I don't have any long blue hair. So what this means, it means us as Vaishnavas, we need to understand our qualities, right? You need to have some introspection, some self-understanding, some understanding of your qualities and who you are, who you want to be, your aspirations. And then actually no one can offend you. If you understand what you're striving for, and if you understand who you are, then you create this bhakti bubble around you, which no one can penetrate by at least negative thoughts and negative words. It's an interesting concept. And I said this to him. He said, you are offended because you're allowed to be offended. You allowed that the words of others are creating such a weight that you're able to listen to them. Why are you listening? These people are not your well-wishers, at least. You know, they're not in your close circle. So why are you putting so much emphasis on them? So that's one thing which I said to him, that the reason you're offended, it's your fault. And the second thought or second point which I mentioned to him is that actually when people are rude and offensive towards someone, it's on many occasions it's just a cry for help. What it presents that this is the way I can deal with the world, and this is the way I can present myself as an individual in response to you. Does it make sense? This is the way I present my individuality. This is the way I react with the world. This is the way I react with the seeming opposition. Immediately, if there is some sort of interaction, my reaction is of a negative connotation. Well, that's nothing, just a statement of unhappiness. That's nothing else, just a statement of people being actually sad and hurt inside. So what it means? It means two things. It means these two sort of a discussion points which I had yesterday with this gentleman. Number one, you understand your values, and you understand the psychophysical sort of a constitution of others based on their reactions. Right? So, this is the setting of the age of Kali. This is the setting of us as Vaishnavas interacting with the age of Kali. Is that, first of all, we should understand our path and the purity and the quality of our path. And through the purity and quality of our chanting, association, reading, and nature of our service, we can just be fully like an impenetrable force. Impenetrable sort of a bastion of spiritual qualities and spiritual character. And then if you go outside, what is there to fear? What is there to be afraid of? Being offended, being hurt, being said something rude? Yeah, I know who I am. I know the quality and the potency of my path. You can't really hurt Vaishnavas by words. So it means two things, that when the Lord was killing the demons, he understood, and just like Prabhupada gives this wonderful analogy, saying that just because there's urine on the floor and the sun rays are touching the urine, doesn't mean the sun is contaminated. It means the nature and quality of sun evaporates the impurity of the urine on the floor. So similarly, in our path, in the path of Krishna consciousness, because of the intensity of our, you know, consciousness, intensity of the spiritual values that we carry, we are untouchable by the external force of Maya. So similarly, Krishna was not considering being contaminated by dealing with these demons. And similarly, the Vaishnavas carry the same blessings on their shoulders, on their heads. So in the translation, it goes, I'm going to read the translation again. I consider the demons who are inimical towards the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in the thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Darksha, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. So interesting thing, in Krishna consciousness, Krishna never comes alone. Krishna, Prabhupada reiterates that again and again and again. Krishna always comes with this entourage, with his dham, with his varieties of associates, with his weapons. But in this age of Kali, the main weapon of Krishna is the Harinam. The main weapon of Srila Prabhupada in this age of Kali is the actual transcendental education, the transcendental presentation of... So what these books are actually containing is not just they contain some words and letters and sentences and some nice cute pictures and, you know, covers and this and that. But what they cover, what they actually uphold is opportunity of adjustment. What they carry is consciousness. You see, one of the most important aspects of practicing spirituality is actually transmission. Transmission. If you think about it, everything in our Krishna conscious life is based on transmission. Right? Just like when radio transmits its signals, there's a receiver, there's the medium, and there's the source of where is it coming from. So similarly in Krishna consciousness, everything is based on transmission. So transmission means that you as a devotee, the medium, let's say spiritual books, and the person as a receiver. So when you go on Sankirtan, it's activity of transmission. It's activity where you are untouched by the modes, hopefully, by the modes surrounding you. And what you're presenting as a presenter is the opportunity for the jiva to connect themselves to the message, to the consciousness. So what these books are presenting is that how to step by step purify this contaminated mind. One of the things people are very interested in this day and age is very lot of psychology. People are very much interested in social structure. People are very much interested in conflict resolution. You can see you don't need to be a genius, you don't need to be political activist or social activist to understand that the world is going through a turmoil. You don't need to be a genius to understand that people are truly suffering outside. We don't need to necessarily we can just understand that things are not going so well. And one thing is interesting, that every single mode is playing to the cards of Krishna consciousness. Either the situation is good, either the situation is bad, either the situation is something between, everything one way or another culminates in people start asking questions about what is the nature of their life. And let me tell you the reason. Sometimes when you can see the different modes operating strongly in different locations around the country. You have the more posh areas, right, when people are, when you ask them, how do you de-stress? How do you de-stress? They say, oh, I play golf. Or I sip my... I like to try wines, different types of wines. Or I just go for a walk with my dog. Prabhupada said, either dog or God. But basically, even in that situation, the uniqueness of that situation is that it actually requires much, much more mental strength and focus to focus on the wealth and acquiring some acquisitions and some possessions. And more mental strength is required to lullaby yourself to the safety of material life. Does it make sense? It basically means that they need to more and more focus on that this is actually my safety net. This wealth, this glory, this adoration, this social status, I need to focus more on it as this is the source of my happiness. But internally, deep inside, you can see that people are still somehow touched and unsatisfied. And no one can tell me differently. I can see it in people's faces. Even if their noses are high like this, even if they're walking like some aristocracy, you can tell that there's unhappiness. You can tell that there is some sort of a tinge of maybe this is not the real thing. And obviously, if you go to places of a lower conscious caliber, there's no lie, there's no pretense. You can see it in people's faces. Again. So goodness, good or bad, or anything between, everything plays to the cards of Krishna consciousness. The only question is how we as spiritual practitioners are able to penetrate their illusion. The one thing is for sure, it's not fight against them. Right, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. It's about how we can fight against their mind. How by our purity we can penetrate the different layers of their illusion. That's the only question we can ask. And just like Krishna carries the wheel, the chakra, in his hand, similarly the acharyas carry us in their hands as their weapon. The only question is, are we ready to be utilized? Are we ready? You see, Sankirtan, not as a book distribution, but outreach is foundational part of sadhana of devotees. And with all honesty, and whatever it may mean to you, it is a necessary thing. Sankirtan devotee doesn't necessarily need to have a Sankirtan bag and books full of in his bag, but Sankirtan is a consciousness. Sankirtan devotee is a stage of giving. It's a stage of when you understand the nature of material world and the nature and caliber of suffering which is happening outside. And you just feel compassionate towards that. Because you've been there. You've been there. You've been one of those people walking there on the high street. And some Vaishnava took pity on you. Some devotee thought, this person is ripe, ready, and maybe if it's not, let me try it out. And we are made by the mercy of the devotees. We are made by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. You, me, who is here who dared to say that I'm self-made? Who is here who dares to say, I'm here just because of my level of purity? Who is that person? Please show me and tell me. Just like the Lord, just like others are inimical towards the Lord, people are inimical towards Krishna consciousness. They are. But what the Lord does, He's inimical to them being inimical. Right? And that's the nature of giving. And that's the nature where actually Krishna consciousness lies. That's when the real magic, that's when the real sadhana of a bhajananandi starts. People think that it means just simple residence in Vrindavan, simple residence in Radhakund. People think that that's the epitome of Vaishnavism. I dare to say the epitome of Vaishnavism is in the culture of compassion. Not only culture of compassion and some meditation on culture of compassion, by active compassion. Active compassion means I'm ready to go an extra mile for you, and you are ready to go extra mile for me. And we are ready to go for extra 100 miles for others. And this is what Sankirtan means. It means congregational chanting. It doesn't mean individual chanting. It doesn't mean us chanting, but means us bringing others and continuously flock and stream and oceans and rivers of people should be flocking to chant congregationally together. It doesn't mean that in this lifetime we will see that. It doesn't most likely mean that our next generation will see it. It doesn't even mean that 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 generations from now will see that. But it means that I've done my bit. I've done some small fragment to facilitate this. Prabhupada says, interesting concept here. The demons are impersonless and are awarded the facility of merging in the Brahmajyoti effulgence of the Lord, whereas the devotees are admitted into the spiritual planets. For comparison, one can just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gornita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Continuing, from comparison, one can just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. The pleasure of the living entities on the planet is greater than that of those who have no body and who merge with the molecules of the sun rays. Yeah. For comparison, one can just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. One of the principal foundations of Vaishnavism is personalism. Part of Prabhupada's prana mantra is almost like a war declaration. War declaration not against people, but against their consciousness. You know what's interesting? That impersonalism takes many shapes and forms. Impersonalism doesn't necessarily mean that these people are, you know, Brahman worshippers. It actually means that impersonal consciousness means that there is no one that I am, there's no one responsible. There's no sense of connectivity. There's no sense of relationship. One of the greatest problems in the modern psychological field is that emotional instability, emotional and social instability. And the foundation principle of society is actually relationship. The principal core of any society is actually family, right? Man, woman, children, and then you have other entities connected to that, extended family, close family, that family. So the core principle of society is actually relationship. So if core principle of society is relationship, how dare we deny that the core principle of spirituality is also relationship? You see what happens? Prabhupada once, and I don't ask me who was this, someone asked Prabhupada, does the fact that I'm a mother make me a better devotee of God, better devotee of Krishna? And you know what Prabhupada answered? The fact that you are devotee of Krishna will make you a better mother. So you see what the modern society is doing? What they're making a statement is that I can have material relationship and depth in material relationships with my mother, with my father, with my partner, with my children, with my family, but I don't need to have relationship with God. Does it make sense? So what is the quality of that relationship that you carry so high? What is the quality of your relationship with those if you are impersonalist? What is that nature of your immediate relationship with those which you seemingly carry for? In comparison, if you are saying God is just energy, some cloud somewhere in the distance. You see, it's not that your material relationships support your spiritual relationship, but it's the other way around. So Krishna consciousness means congregationally we develop that central relationship with Krishna. And then as a side effect, as an offshoot of our principal goal, everything else becomes nourished. You become a better father. You become a better friend. You become a better partner. You become a better son, child, employee, employer. You become a better ruler. You become a better whatever you want to become. That's a side effect of your relationship with Krishna. Because ultimately, if you say that I can be disconnected from the source, yet maintain all of my attributes and qualities in this material realm, you're a fool. You're a fool. So here, Vidura is saying, Krishna presents himself in a personal form in front of these demons. Even these demons interacted with him, but with the bad consciousness they had, they still end up in Brahmajyoti. So what does it mean? People come, we come, in front of Radha Gokulananda. And with folded hands, we are begging for shattered pieces of glass. We are begging to be facilitated on this material plane. Same thing, that's what Dhruva Maharaj said. I wanted the kingdom better than the kingdom of my grandfather. Yet the Lord, look at you, you facilitated a jewel, undisputable crown jewel of all the mystical yoga, and that is the jewel of bhakti. So impersonalism also means the hierarchy of needs and desires we have in front of the Lord. Obviously, we understand Krishna says, either you have sarva kama, or you have moksha kama, or you have no desires, still you're intelligent to be connected with Krishna. That is the case. But if your connection with Krishna erupts in impersonal blessings, then you're cursed. Cursed by just lack of consciousness. So yeah, let's not fight with the Lord like the demons, but right on the other hand, let's be a tool in the hands of the Lord. Just like Garuda, just like the Sudarshan Chakra, its carrier and weapon of the Lord. Let us carry the mission of the Acharyas and ultimately Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. And let's be the weapon which helps to disseminate and share the true consciousness, the consciousness of devotion, the personal consciousness. But one thing I was also thinking about this revolution, and this is on another note. Many of us, we have this consciousness that revolution is something romantic. Revolution is something where there is something, it's something amazing happens. But in our history, it's teaching us the revolution is something which was purchased by blood, tears, sweat, work, and sacrifice. And if these concepts are not part of our intrinsic nature as a devotional practitioners, then there will be no revolution. There will be no revolution. Revolution is purchased by sacrifice. And the question is to which degree we are able to participate and willing to be part of that. And I'm not saying some physical fleshy sacrifice, but a sacrifice of time, sacrifice of focus, sacrifice of connection, sacrifice of personal dwelling and personal dwelling on the meditation of what needs to be done. So please let us pray all together today. that we are part of the solution, not part of the problem. Thank you so much for your patience, for your tolerance. Sorry if I was, pushy. Sorry if I was, I'm tired. When people are tired, they're grumpy. Sorry if I'm grumpy. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki. If there are any questions, points, notes, and anything devotees would like to share and add, we still have 5 minutes. So please, Hare Krishna.
Gauranga.
Gauranga.
Thank you, Prabhu, for class without notes, which is great, unprepared. In regard of this man you mentioned, that he met somebody who was rude to him and stuff, but I would say that, you said we cannot be offended by attacks of others. We know who we are. You know. But point is, most of us, if not all, are in illusion of ourselves. As a known fact, even psychologically, that everybody overestimates his own persona, either his beauty, intelligence, qualities. And then somebody may be rude towards us, pointing this out, but fact is that others can see our faults better than we ourselves. So in that sense, of course, as a Vaishnava, we always reflect, you know, it must be something in me, but others also. So, you know, it's not like there's no truth in it. Like somebody just unloads his own frustration maybe, but points out something which irritates him, you know. So that's one thing which, anyway, you can comment on that, I guess.
Yeah, we should have people which we have trust and faith, and there should be those which we take the true value of their approach and true value in this, in their feedback. It's a whole completely different sort of a mechanism when it comes to receiving feedback.
More thinking of a random person, like, you know, not just I know this, you know, thing, those trust. We know all this psychology.
Yes.
In that case, you know, we know ourselves. I know myself, but he is friendly to me, who really wants to help me. I know myself, but he has to tell me. So we can be the same.
So that's a good point. There should be also not so much of a frustration. If we are able to dissociate ourselves from the mistakes that we make, then we can actually approach it in a much more healthy way. In the sense that, or you are very rude, and then you're like, okay, so this person thinks I'm rude. That may be true. Would you like to specify what did I say that offended you, and which moment I was rude? Maybe you can help me to be more conscious of this attribute of mine. So we can still, in a healthy fashion, in a healthy way, approach our mistakes without being necessarily, put down by our mistakes. I mean, this material world is full of mistakes, and we do them constantly, on regular basis. It's our lila. It's our pastimes to do a lot of mistakes and be foolish. But we can also grow with feedback. We don't need to dwindle and sort of disappear with the feedback, right? So people come to you and say, yeah, you've done this wrong. Amazing. Thank you so much. I am here to be corrected by the Vaishnavas. I'm here to be made by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And mercy comes in many shapes and forms.
If you told this to that person, what do you think he would think?
You can actually dismantle people, you know, very easily.
The person was complaining that you could tell him that also. There's many ways to deal with that.
Yeah, we can grow. I mean, how else we can grow if there's no feedback, if there's no sort of you actually once told me, you've been the one who once told me that in the ashram, it's like taking many stones, sharp, ugly stones, and put them in a washing machine. Like, and then when you just start circling all these stones and they just rub against each other, and in the end, they become very nice and shiny and beautiful. So, yes, that's the nature how we function. We just rub off our negativity and rudeness and our anarthas against each other. But then in the end of the process, if it's done correctly, we come out from that drum as a beautiful, polished, nice, precious stones. Diamonds are made under pressure. Let that pressure come, Haribo. No, I'm not asking for troubles.
More.
Yes.
In terms of what you said, people are impersonal. Yeah, they want to have nice relationships in this world, but they are impersonal towards God. This is just, I just see this reason as a God is abstracting, distant, often uncertain, mispresented. That's one greatest thing. People, why they turn against God, or not against, they just turn away from God, because he's mispresented. While we have relationships here in intermediate, so we cannot deal with abstract things.
Mm.
You know, we deal with intermediate things, therefore a good relationship, I know what morality standard is, you know, value. So this is how I deal. Why I need God in my life in that sense, because people are put off from mispresenting this at first place, and other things are just something abstract, something you never know, is it true or not. Still people debate, and they'll always debate forever, that God exists or not.
That's why if you look in through the whole process of the Vedas, Archana is very much part of our day-to-day life, which is deity worship. Deity worship is Krishna manifesting his merciful form so we can actually not have this abstract sort of understanding. So worship of Krishna in his murti, it's a very intrinsic part of our spiritual evolution as devotees. In the Kanishtha Adhikari stage, that's our full focus. Our full focus is that Krishna is a person. He's there on the altar. I can offer him garlands, flowers, jewels, artis, this and that, food, preparation. He's a person. And as we continue through Madhyama and Uttama, I wouldn't say we distance ourselves from Murti, but we see him as a person through other seemingly impersonal features around us. Just like when you listen to Prabhupada walks, they're actually amazing. They're glimpses to the vision of a pure devotee, how he sees Krishna everywhere. So we are not distancing our consciousness from the deities, but we extending our consciousness from the deities. Does it make sense? It's like the deities are there, and there needs to be physical and service proximity for me to realize that he is a person. But as you're progressing and evolving in your life of a devotee, you are taking him and you see Krishna everywhere else. Prabhupada said right then, there was literally ice on the road, and Prabhupada break the ice. And he said, this is what I do, this is the path of Guru. He breaks the impersonal consciousness. And then later on, he stopped and looked at a tree and boom, create this amazing vision of a pure devotee, how you can bring Krishna into that picture. So I think it's just an evolution. And if we say that our current position is not so evolved, then no problem. Stay closer to the deities. There's no loss, obviously. No diminution. There's no problem. Just meditate more on Murti.
You said that to bring them to some aspect of, in connection with deities.
Yeah, 100%.
Change their heart.
Yeah.
Some ways. So that's the thing. Yeah.
That's why it means Archana Vidhi is a mercy incarnation of the Lord. Mercy to the such a degree that Krishna makes himself visible. Yeah. Maybe one last question and we can go. Or point.
Thank you for the class. What is the difference between Vidura thinking that these demons who are killed by the Lord are fortunate, and us thinking that the demons are superior and more benefited and fortunate? What is the difference?
So if I understood your question correctly, I'm going to repeat it. Brahma Kurna Prabhu asked, what is the difference between Vidura seeing the fortunate part of the demons that they've been killed by Krishna, and on the other hand was...
As devotees ourselves, we seeing the demons as fortunate and more benefited by the Lord than us. So what is the difference?
Okay. What's the difference between...
Vidura and us, our thinking.
What's the difference between devotees thinking in general that the demons are more fortunate than us? I dare to say that you see, like when we look at the bhajans, songs of Vaishnava acharyas, then we can see how they put themselves almost in a very pitiful condition, saying, I have no love for Krishna, I have no appreciation, I don't know who he is. Are you in Vamsigad? Are you Radhakund, Shyamakund? Where is Krishna? I have no access to him. But you see, the analogy is actually very interesting. The more distance you are from a mountain, you can squeeze the mountain between your thumb and your index finger like this. Like this is how this is Prabhupada. This is how Prabhupada is big. Right? This is how big is Prabhupada. But the closer you come to such a great personality like Prabhupada, the more and more you're going to see his magnanimity, his character, his true vision, beauty, spiritual potency. So what it means, and then what you do, then you compare that proximity to your understanding of that particular person. So the closer you are to Prabhupada, the more and more you feel, I'm so insufficient in my bhakti. I'm so insufficient in my levels of tolerance, patience, love. I'm so insufficient in my sadhana. But that your state of consciousness rises from your proximity. So when devotees and practitioners like Vidura says that these demons are so benefited, it stems from his truthful understanding of the Lord and his magnificent potency and his magnificent position as someone who gives unlimited blessings. So what it speaks about when devotees start glorifying the demons, it speaks about the magnanimity of the devotees. Magnanimity in their understanding of the mercy of the Lord. That's what it is. Hare Krishna. Om Tat Sat. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Shri Shri Garnitai Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki. Jai.